And I believe Jim Nordland and I can go ahead and tally the sheets and then go back to you.
Yeah, Representative Boyer, what we plan to do here today is not a radical departure from the plan that we had before. But people, most people did not submit their sheets. I mean, you have yours filled out. I don't think you mailed them in to Nancy ahead of time, or maybe you did, but you're the exception if you did.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe you just misunderstand with the way I plan to proceed here. We didn't have all the resumes. We just passed out the one that was missing from the package. And now you're to take your ballot and to fill it out. And if there's discussion that needs to occur about any of the people on the list, that's what's in order at this time. So it's not like we're going to go through and have a big discussion of each individual.
Sure.
We want to have the voting take place here rather than it having taken place before and you mail in the things. Nancy's still going to go out and tabulate the votes on the medically indigent, and that person will be announced as the person appointed to the commission, the task force. Representative Benson,
Chairman.
Senator Benson.
Yes. Thank you. Do we have anybody from the private sector, or what's the status of that, Nancy?
There are a couple of names that are under the private employer, two names. I would, however, urge you to consider not filling that slot today. I've had a number of conversations with a representative from the National Federation of Independent Businesses, which you had instructed me at the last meeting in early June to work with to try to get a representative. And I, you know, we had discussions in June, and I think that she basically assumed the task force was not going to continue because when I came back, there was no longer there was no resume. I have had many conversations with Risa Gerald, who's their representative, and she is still looking for a representative, and I would urge you to try to find someone from this category that does represent small businesses. And of course, that's a coalition of small businesses in that federation, so I would again urge you to consider perhaps not filling that position. I do have resumes, an additional resume for the provider category. His name is listed under the provider category. That's James Walsh. And I also have a resume for Jerry Neer, which I believe our representative Barr can speak for Mr. Neer, but he should be considered under the private insurer category, for health insurer category.
Okay. Before we march through each category one at a time, because there are people that have applied under various categories, and Nancy, could you just let us, you know, if we run through one by one, we get into a point of someone who qualified in only one category and someone else who qualified in several categories. Could you just speak to that, Nancy, because we'll eventually have to go through each one and mark out ballots, and that could get to be a problem at the end. Could you just characterize who, you know, different people that fit into different categories, and if you think that's going to be a problem as we go through the selection process?
Well, Representative Ellis, as I suggested in my list there of the potential or the applicants, I basically listed everyone under the categories that they had indicated, unless they didn't indicate a category, and then I did my best to look at their resume and identify what category I thought they should be in. And I really refer to the sort of traditional federal health planning definitions of what a consumer is and what a provider is and that kind of thing, and also tried to take into consideration the direction that the task force members have given me in terms of putting members in each category. So what I did was to organize the packet into the categories that I really think the individuals that you should consider for each category in terms of representing that perspective. I did put them in that packet, and that is not always necessarily the category or the only category that they indicated they should be considered in.
Okay, fine. Let's, we're on the medically indigent category. Let's, if people haven't yet done so, go ahead and let's mark our ballots for that one. If there's, is there any discussion that needs to occur? If not, let's move on to the next category.
Just a question, Mr. Chairman.
Dave?
Are the three resumes that are passed out, are they any of those in this category?
Nancy just said there were three more that were received today that were going to be passed.
Well, you received one from Patricia O'Gorman. It should be there in front of you, and that fits into this category.
Okay, but the other two do not?
No.
Okay.
Okay, under the private employer category, there's been a request to hold off on that one. We've heard the rationale for it. Is there any problem with holding that one to the next meeting? If not, nonprofit organization. Nancy?
Representative Ellis, I would just urge you again, and this is my recommendation to the task force. There isn't a seat on this task force. Remember, on this task force, that designated specifically to represent healthcare to Native Alaskans, and there are a number of nonprofit organizations here that provide healthcare to various populations. That I would urge the task force to consider, putting a representative here into this position that represents the health concerns of Native Alaskans. I think that's very important. And just to draw attention to the two individuals who were recommended by the Alaska Native Health Board, they are Robert Clark, who is the executive director of the Bristol Bay Area Health Corporation, and also Carolyn Michael, who's with the Norton Sound Health Corporation. So, again, I think this is an opportunity for you to have representation for the health concerns of Native Alaskans, and I would draw your attention to those two individuals who have been selected by the Native Health Force representative.
I personally plan to make this the category where I, lend my support to representing those interests because of debate that went on in the House of Representatives on Senator Duncan's legislation, a concern for representation of rural people and Native people and the rural uninsured, all of those concerns. And I guess I would ask if there's anyone here who knows Robert Clark or Carolyn Michaels, if anyone has any kind of recommendation between those individuals or someone else that represents that interest that wasn't nominated by the Native Health Board. Representative Boyer?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I've actually met both of those people, and I wouldn't choose either one of them myself. I'm going to support Paul Sherry from Canada Chiefs only because in my work with the Hess budget over the last 5 years and working with Canada Chiefs very specifically on lots of their projects, I found Paul to be just very, very broadly knowledgeable of the overall needs of rural Alaskans. And he's been with Tenenbaum Chiefs for a number of years, probably more than 10 years, if I can recall.
Does Tenenbaum Chiefs, for the nonprofit, for the health arm, participate in the Alaska Native Health Board?
Yes.
Okay, is there any other discussion or pitch for any of these people? Like I said, I don't know any of these people, and I'm looking for a good recommendation to represent our rural interests.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Duncan.
No firm recommendation. However, I do know Mr. Clark. I know Robert Clark. I think Mr. Gave maybe is one of the recommendations from the Native Health Board. So, I mean, I think people should do what they want to do. Right. I don't have a call to Sherry necessarily either, but Mr. Clark is not known.
Mr.
Lane.
Chairman, I would ask if Representative Boyer knows this. Tenenbaum Chiefs provide services to, I assume they provide contract services, state contract services to all residents of Interior Alaska, not just any health service beneficiary.
Yeah, they do have some contracts, some aspects, some services are provided to natives and non-natives.
Right. Okay. One of the comments I would have is, although certainly it's critical to have people from, representatives from nonprofit organizations that are providing service to the health service beneficiaries, the fact of the matter is that the health service beneficiaries are receiving health care. So I think we have to make sure that whoever we pick for the slot also represents rural citizens who are not any health service beneficiaries.
That's a good point. That's come up before.
No, my guy doesn't.
Does that mean Mr. Clark?
further discussion on the nonprofit provider category? If not, please go ahead and mark your ballot. Let's move on to the labor category. We have two interested individuals, Steve Boyd of IBEW and Nano Fry of the state AFL-CIO. Is there any discussion there? Jay?
Mr. Chairman, I frankly don't know either one of these individuals. I'm wondering, though, if anybody feels like there's a need to slip some more names under this category. I don't know.
Senator Duffin?
Mr. Chair, I think that we have kind of, we've gone to AFL-CIO on some suggestions, and they had to actually come back with the suggestion of panel Friday. And of course, that's the umbrella organization for all labor organizations, including the major public employee organizations. So.
Right. That'd be my only comment. If you want the broadest representation, the state AFL-CIO, even though it doesn't include all labor organizations, covers most of them. That would be the broadest representation. I'm sure Steve Boyd's a great guy, too. He's from one union individually. But we did solicit labor, you know, their recommendations, just like we have from the for-profit, the private employers, and these are the recommendations we got. So. Okay, healthcare providers. There was an additional resume. And Nancy, did you have a comment on the provider category? No. Is there any comments or any discussion of this category?
Mr. Chairman, this is the only category where there are two members, right? I mean, there are two members who respect it.
Yeah, you get to make your first, second, third, and fourth choice, and the top two vote-getters will be selected. I see people still writing, so I was going to give another minute.
I have one last one. You're still on.
There's another resume for this category?
Yeah.
Okay. Hang on a minute. Okay, let's, people can keep working on that category. Let's go on to the consumer category. Is there an additional resume in this category?
No.
On to the insurer category, and there is an additional resume here.
Is this the place for intense lobbying?
party.
Yeah.
Well, Virginia needs some company on this task force, so.
That was in the former line. He did some work, the resume just had handed out. He did a packet for...
Mike, why don't you use your...
Yeah. Mr. Neer did an entire project for the Kenai Peninsula Borough that the Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District has now taken over and is doing some additional research on. But that's this plan here. It was submitted to them in January of this year, and he did a lot of it just on his own. Because he really feels that it's an issue that has to be addressed. He also did some work for Blue Cross in trying to put together a package for, I believe, sewer, a pilot program, and that's what this was an attempt at. And he's very knowledgeable. He has a lot of contacts, and I think that the task force would be well served by his participation.
Talk to the little man, that's all I
need. Does anybody?
Okay, is there any further discussion of any of the categories? If everyone's completed their ballots, why don't we have Nancy and Jim pick them up and tabulate them and give us the big news. Let's go ahead and take a 5-minute break. Well, I think we need Nancy back in the room to discuss the next meeting, so... I think we have to take a break here to
Mr. Chairman, also,
President Boyer,
a question on the private employers. Can we do that telephonically or whatever? I mean, could we do that before the next meeting? I'd hate to have this person now also be like 2 months farther out than the rest of us. So.
No, we are. I had that in mind to talk to Nancy about it and talk to the, you know, the NFIB and Risa Gerald and all the folks that are involved in coming up with a name for us and have that person selected. Yes, I think we can do it telephonically and get it decided. I don't think people here are going to have much of a problem if the coalition of small business and those folks, private employers, to some extent get together and come up with a consensus candidate. I don't think we're going to have, so it'd be just sort of us rubber stamping it. I don't think there's going to be a big controversy there. And we would have that done by the next meeting so that person can attend the kickoff. When Jim and Nancy go off to tally and bring back the results, if there's a tie, they can bring that back to us and inform us of that and let us figure out how to proceed.
Mr. Chairman, has provision been made for Commissioner Keller to vote?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think everybody who's entitled to cast a ballot is accounted for. Okay, we will take a 5-minute break for them to tally the board because we do need Nancy in the room to discuss the next meeting. Objection, that's the way we would proceed. Okay, if everyone will get out their calendars and schedules, let's discuss the next meeting. We did have a discussion before because of the RFP timeline and that sort of thing about not being able to meet until sometime in September, and it depends. The RFP takes a month, so that puts us into September. But then the other consideration would be when the subcontractor could come to Alaska to work with us and have some time to get up to speed. So I would imagine we're talking about the third week of September, if we were going to be realistic. And I think we want to plan on 2 full days, like we were planning on the August. The meeting at the end of this month was to have been 2 full working days, I believe. So that's what we're talking about for probably the second week of September, depending on the schedule of the subcontractor. Do we have any suggestions for dates, Representative Boyer?
I don't have a suggestion for a date, but kind of I have a vision of what I think the first meeting is going to be like. And I 2 days might be very intense. If your coordinator, it will probably take us more than an 8-hour day to kind of go across the issues. Here are the issues, here are the issues in access, here are the issues in cost containment, you know, kind of have somebody spread that out, that's a long day all by itself, and then to maybe choose the directions the next day. But that's, I mean, I see us doing that in 2 days, but it might be very intensive 2 days. Because also people need to be prepared to probably start at 9 and run through 6 o'clock or something. It'd be intensive.
I agree with you. I think that's what we've come to expect, and especially since we're behind a month, all the meetings are going to be quite intense, including the first one. Should we... I'd like us to give a couple of dates here to Nancy to work with the subcontractor once they're on board, and then to get the notice out to all of us. Are there, so I guess I'm interested in hearing some suggestions, and if there are any days that are off limits because of people's business or work schedules or other commitments. Are there any, okay, first of all, are there any dates that are no can do for anybody in the group? Jay?
Mr. Chairman, I'm actually here representing Commissioner Mala at this meeting. I believe he will be gone the last week in September, as will I.
Okay, so Nancy's noting that the last week is bad for the department, but the second or third week of September, he will be around. Senator Collins?
I will be gone from September 19th to about the 23rd or 4th.
Okay.
September
Dave?
19th.
Second week is bad for me. I assume that I will be here for Commissioner Old. Second week is bad for me, but other than that, anytime.
I'm completely flexible.
16, 17.
Okay.
How's that?
You're leaving the 19th, did you say?
I believe so.
Okay, so that'd be before your trip. Okay, that looks like a good potential. If the subcontractor could make it then, we plan to meet here in Anchorage in the upstairs or this conference room. Nancy?
Representative Ellis, I haven't checked, honestly, with all these contractors about their availability. I have, however, talked with Larry Bartlett because I was hoping about another matter, but I did ask him about his availability for the last 2 weeks of September and the first week in October. And he's, you know, basically it's a four-day commitment for him. He's got to fly here, 2 days here, and then fly back. So he, given that, he could be in Anchorage on the 18th or 19th or the 19th or 20th of September, the 27th or 28th, or any time the first week in October. Now, I'm not sure you want to just, you know, set up your schedule based on his availability, but I happen to know in his case, I have not talked to the other subcontractors about their availability.
Well, don't schedule ourselves around him until we talk to the other contractors so we know who it's going to be.
Okay, well, Nancy's got some information to go on. We're going to leave the date of the next meeting open and see how the subcontractor process goes. But I would ask people to tentatively mark out on their calendar between the 16th and 19th. I mean, Senator Collins may be able to be at the first day and have to leave and miss the second day. It may turn out that way, but it may be another subcontractor. So if people could leave those dates open, though, during that week, and know that we'll meet sometime during that. I don't want this to go over into October. We've got to get a meeting done in September so we can have two meetings in October. Okay, and as soon as we can pull the date together, we'll let you know because everybody needs to know soon. Nancy?
If I will do my very best to arrange for something the week of the 16th and as early as possible in that week. And if you can just have your staff call me with the specifics of your, you know, schedule, then that will really facilitate the process, at least I don't know. And I will do my very best so that it, you know, has a minimum impact on the group as a whole, I guess, is the rule I'll use.
Okay. Dave, did you have another comment?
I was just going to suggest, Mr. Chairman, that we schedule now a phone meeting within the next 10 days, 2 weeks max, to fill the last seat. Just with what the paper that we've been able to generate without even starting, it's going to take, A, it's a major commitment on the part of whoever takes that seat, and B, they're going to have to do a little catch-up. So I would suggest like Monday the 12th or something.
Thank you for suggesting that. It slipped my mind that we didn't want, I intended to set a deadline for the private employers to nominate a representative and for us to, by telephone, confirm that choice. Let me ask this. Would anybody have any problem once there's a consensus candidate from the private employers for the co-chairs to just accept that name on behalf of the task force? Do we all need to be hooked up in a teleconference to say yes, we agree?
I don't have a problem with that as long as we set a drop-dead date now, because otherwise it's going to be the 14th of September and we're going to be trying to put this together.
Okay. Nancy, let's give to RESA and the NFIB and private employers 2 weeks from today deadline for submitting us a name, and then Senator Duncan and I will be in phone contact with each other and with you and with that, the name of that person, with RESA or with that person themselves, and we will likely accept that name.
Okay.
And that person will appear at the next meeting. I mean, there could be some controversy or some problem, but if we're all willing to accept who they nominate, there shouldn't be a problem. Representative Navarre?
This is someone from small business, right? Because I really don't care if it's small business or big business.
Well, yeah, I actually do, and I know Representative Boyer does. Go ahead.
The problem statistically is that 85% of the employers in the state of Alaska are employing 25 employees or less. And nationally, the statistic is that 85 or 86% of all the uninsured work for those kinds of companies. So, I mean, it's great to have ARCO or BP or somebody, but they're not representative of the problem that we are trying to address. And
so we specifically tried to reach out to small businesses because, you know, lots of plans in other states have depended on either small business paying the tax or covering their employees or paying the government to cover their employees. And so they're the ones that scream and yell, and we want them involved in the process to help guide our deliberations. So small business is important to me to be represented.
Now I care.
And I wasn't sure Mark had expressed, you know, 25 or less. I'm not sure that message completely got through to NFIB in their search for a representative. We might want to reinforce that. I don't know what NFIB's definition of small business is. If it's, you know, if it's 100 or less, I don't have a problem with that. But we can get somebody really bright and articulate from ARCO, and it's not going to help us very much in the real problems of small employers. So we might want to reinforce that when you talk to RESA about the two-week deadline to come up with somebody. Nancy, any problem with that?
Mr. Chairman, I think that's a really good idea because the usual breakdown is if you have 25 employees or less, it's very difficult to get any kind of insurance. And so that's, you know, talking to small employers that have the problem, that's about where the break is, what the insurance industry, it's really tough to get insurance. And one thing I'd like to mention that I don't know if we need to consider it as part of the whole package, but I think we need to be aware of the Americans with Disabilities Act that was passed by Congress last year that will be implemented this year, partially implemented for major employers this year, and I think in 92 for small employers. But the whole premise of that law was to transfer the cost that the federal government is currently paying to provide health insurance and Medicare and Medicaid benefits to the people, to transfer those costs to the private sector. And it's going to be aggressively implemented. It's going to be exceedingly difficult for an insurer, an employer who has 25 employees or less right now, to get any kind of insurance with a healthy workforce. You can imagine what it's going to be like if they're going to be in a situation where they're going to be compelled to hire people with disabilities. It's really going to be a health coverage nightmare. So I think we need to kind of keep that in the back of our minds as we go through this whole process.
Nancy?
Representative Ellis, I think I would recommend under these circumstances that one of the members of the task force, perhaps Senator Collins, send a letter to the National Federation of Independent Businesses and tell them, exactly what the task force's concerns are in terms of representation so that they realize how important that this representation of small businesses and the interest in providing some sort of health care coverage to their employees is.
Senator Collins, would you be willing
to do that?
Because of your background, you probably gained their interest because you probably found yourself in a similar position.
I know their problems real well.
Okay, is there any further items of business to come before us? Representative Boyer?
Can we have Dave take a look at how difficult it would be or what impediments are in place in the state for requiring that insurers who do business in the state give us a community-wide rating instead of, rating may be the wrong word, but rate this all of us, and the nexus is we all receive a permanent fund dividend.
In other words, one statewide.
A statewide, a community
Sure. You know, we'll put something together on that, and we'll do it within a couple of weeks so that there's time for everybody to consider it.
I don't know that any state has done that, but probably there isn't one that has a unique, let's say, nexus that we have here that might be able to get away with it.
There are a couple of just geographic problems that are unique to Alaska, and that has to do with more with access to health care than the risk for any given individual. That I think might affect that community rating concept. But we'll look into it and see what we come up with.
Are there any other requests for information or research to be done that we could get started on before the next meeting?
Mr.
Smaller pieces like that could be worked on?
Not exactly a request for information, but the National Association of Insurance Commissioners has volumes of material. And at the expense of just deluging Nancy and having to get more budget to get space to store this stuff, we'll get copies of everything to Nancy. I would prefer not to make copies of everything for all the task force members simply because of the volume of information. But there may be some very good starting points there.
Mark, specifically on that, I know that organization has developed something like HIAA, Small Business Access Legislation, but it's different than HIAA's or HIA, right? And could you provide at least that piece to everyone?
Sure.
See that?
Well, just in closing, I'd like to say that I think we're all happy that we've decided to move forward in spite of some of the restrictions placed on us, and I think we're set on a path to doing a good job because we're committed to the project. And so I thank all of you for attending, most of you on teleconference. Thank you for being with us. And we will send out a notice broadly to all of you and to the public about the time and place of our next meeting.
Did you have a chance to go over that stuff that you showed us from last time?
Yes, hi. Let's see you.
They want us to be a member of that.
they didn't want to look at it. You want to get some others. So, but we'll have
on notice, and now we just need to let them know what we want. You didn't receive that letter, right?
Is Paul Sherry?